Is he joining us today?
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Let's Colour podcast.
Hooray.
We are so pleased to be here.
Still here.
And we're very excited, aren't we, Steph?
We've got a real treat in store today.
Yep.
Got a real treat actually just behind us, in fact, because we are going back to the 90s in this episode.
We're going in a time tunnel, in a wormhole, and we're going back to relive the 90s. And we're here in Casuscillo for another episode together again. We're still excited because it's still new and exciting to be together again rather than looking at each other on the screens. And we're much better in real life, I suspect, than we are on those screens, don't you think?
Well, let's wait and see, shall we? We haven't started yet, so let's let the viewers be the decider of that, shall we?
But Steph, I'm so excited, and because I love the 90s. You know, when you kind of think back on your life, you won't be doing this yet, but I'm thinking, what was the best part? What's the best decade so far?
Best
and
decade.
The 90s was the best decade. The best decade for all sorts of reasons. So I had three kids in the 90s, got married in the 90s. It was brilliant. And of course, I met Lawrence in the 90s.
Yes.
And actually, and changing rooms, which we're going to talk about all today, was the thing that got me doing what I'm doing today. So changing rooms was actually the sort of catalyst, because my background is painting fairground rides and painting, doing sign writing. And then suddenly changing rooms brought all of that inside into interiors. And that is just so exciting. So yeah.
The 90s is your decade.
It is my decade.
It is my decade. Well, you are going to love this episode then, because we are doing, with that in mind and with the return of changing rooms in mind, as you said, we are doing a special throwback 90s episode. Yeah. So really looking forward to sharing all of our memories of that today. And of course, going through lots of other different pieces, bits and pieces too.
Absolutely. We're going to do some live painting on the podcast. And we're sitting on the sofa of dreams here, and I am a little worried about this. Got dust sheet on the floor.
That'll be fine.
But we're going to reinvigorate some of those techniques from the 90s.
Absolutely. And in our colour know-how segment, of course, we are also going to be diving into 90s colour trends. We're going to be looking at some of our memories of our personal memories of the 90s and seeing what we could see through some of those interior shots. I suspect there'll be lots of florals coming out, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're going to really kind of get into those. And then, of course, those wonderful paint techniques, which
I've got a colour guide from every year of the 90s, and it shows how the 90s change from one thing to another as we get closer to change rooms, and that's really exciting too.
And of course, it wouldn't be a podcast episode if we didn't have Dr. Dulux
the
surgery. So I didn't bring a hat. Didn't bring a hat for Dr. Dulux.
Never mind. My stethoscope.
Maybe we can make one later. Yep. You've got your stethoscope. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be taking those real life decorating dilemmas, which are going to be another surprise for you this week, because usually we talk about them and you have no idea what they are.
No.
And that always makes them more fun.
I do
for
like
me.
That because it puts me on my edge. Yes, I just have to really dig deep for Dr. Dulux.
Yes, so that will be great. So yes, lots and lots of different things going on. So shall we crack on?
I think we should crack on.
How are you doing? Right. Tell me about your week.
Should we have a sort of sound effect for going back into the 90s? There ought to be some kind of swooshing sound.
Oh, maybe.
Kind of DeLorean.
It's like a rewind.
Okay, 1990, Steph, how old were you?
Five.
You were five.
Yeah.
I was...
1990.
Was I 26, 27? I was just turning 27, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
27.
Yeah, there you go.
And you've brought some pictures along.
I have.
Can
do you want
I
to see?
I do want to see.
Do you want to see? I had to raid my nan's like photo albums, because obviously all of mine is in storage at the moment because we still haven't unpacked anything. But here we go. So these are all of a kind of similar age. So here's my first lovely image there.
Look at
some
this.
Beautiful
purple
cord trousers there.
Yeah, and we talked about purple being that colour of the 90s, and look at that.
Yes.
Yellow, purple and yellow little trainers.
I mean, what a colour combination,
a
right?
Cutie pie. Let's
Got
have a look.
Mum to thank for that. That says, yes, April 1990, in fact. Aww. There you go. Here's a lovely velvet number.
Oh,
look at that.
Look.
Isn't and oh, I've heard Velvet is coming back.
Velvet is definitely coming back.
It is.
Oh, I love the little collar and the bow and everything. Is that a furry sofa I can see in the back?
Do you know, I think is that velvet is. It's sofa. A nice crushed velvet sofa with a delightful pattern on it, I believe.
That is unbelievable, yeah. Steph. And a lovely mint green sofa. Painted. God, that is so cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm. Come on, one more. At least one more.
I'm not sure.
I rifled through these before Steph got here.
You did. Have you got a favourite?
I did find a few of you that your granny had taken of you in your bra and pants.
Oh, yeah. I put those to one side because I didn't think they were appropriate. No. But I think this is just as good.
No.
In a delightful brownies.
In the brownies. That is a fantastic shot.
I had skills back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of badges did you have?
I don't know. Is there anything good on there?
I can see a cup and saucer. Hospitality. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in the definitely. Wrong career, obviously.
It's a little running man. Fantastic.
Who knows?
Amazing.
Who knows what those badges were?
So, this is me in the 90s.
I love
with
that.
My son Jack was born. That's amazing. Isn't he? Look at my child. I'm literally a child there. Literally a child.
And then what I love about this picture, though, is I would wear these earrings and dungarees.
I know.
Like, hello. I know. They are cool, big right now.
Look at that little collar thing.
Love it.
Hey, actually, I'm wearing the same thing 2 years later. I blooming am as well.
Yeah.
2 years later.
All right.
I'm recycling. Wearing the same thing for the second child, Ella. There she is there, looking absolutely gorgeous. Same hairdo. Slightly off to the left. And then the third one, Molly, she was born 6 years later, on the same day as the first one, I have to say, which is very clever, I think. And that was my 90s, basically. It was kind of like getting to grips with being a mum.
There you go.
Also in the 90s, there's a little picture of me painting fairground horses and making the
which
horses.
Which is your specialty,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, the kind of thing that I was doing back then. So it's kind of, and this is the sort of precursor of that kind of craft and painting thing, you know, just before changing rooms kicked off. So I was fully immersed in paint before it all kicked off. So, beginning of the 90s, Steph.
Beginning of the 90s.
We were talking about this the other day, and I was looking through some of our colour charts. And when you look at the beginning of the 90s, so up until around 1994, all of the colour charts that we have are all of these sort of soft blend and tone. So really, really lovely, soft kind of like nature's neutrals. Like I'm digging around in here.
Yeah,
we also launched in the 90s the Heritage Collection,
yes,
which was a new kind of range of paints. But at the beginning of the 90s, it was all of this lovely, soft nature's hints and tints and magnolias, barley white, apple white and all of that kind of stuff. And then towards the end of the 90s, sort of the middle of the 90s actually, everybody was going on holiday. Flights became really cheap.
Yes.
And can you remember, everybody was going everywhere. So it was that kind of like whole Freddie Laker thing. Everybody was travelling everywhere. And the colour team at Dulux, they were all affected by it. So when you look at some of these colours, we had this lovely Travels in colour. What was this? This is it, one of these Dulux tarts. And it's just, have a rifle through that one. It's amazing.
Great, 97. Oh. There we go.
Here, this is it.
I do remember. World of colour.
So this is this is the world of colour.
I remember that.
And this was inspired by all the places you went on holiday, from Spain to Morocco. And suddenly colour was back on the chart. So this is before changing rooms. We were just getting back into colour because everybody was travelling everywhere. And all of those names as well. They're fantastic names in here. Mango Crush.
Oh, yeah. I've got a Caribbean Crush going on.
Caribbean Crush. The Amazon. Oh, yeah, definitely. Dreamboat. These are definitely
some good holidays. This Dulux colour team, didn't they?
Here.
Loads of different kind of colour inspirations, and I remember lots of and perhaps this is after the likes of changing rooms kind of came back to our screens. Lots of like actual palettes of colours in various kind of country themes. So I know, like, you know, as you said, Morocco or Spanish influences or like an Italian theme or like lots of that kind of travel inspired colour combinations as well as into the names themselves. Yeah. So I seem to remember kind of various ranges or things around that. It was kind of fashionable to have a full-on Moroccan themed living room, not just an odd influence here and there, but like, you know, like a bazaar
in
your living
room.
Full
immersion. And changing rooms picked up on that because that's kind of what's happening. So changing rooms at the moment, we've been really lucky to be working. Me and Steph have been in the wings supporting the new series. And we've seen all of the rooms at the moment. And it's amazing how it's a kind of like it's not a revamp of the 90s because it's not going back to the 90s, but it's this amazing creativity, amazing craft, amazing imagination, and a real journey into the experience that a room gives you rather than the way that it just looks.
Yeah.
And that's happening back then. There's also, I'm getting excited again, Steph, and I'm talking too much because this is always what happens. I go into the past and I'm like, I'm going to be fantastic in an old folks' home. Never going to shut up. But also what we did just before changing rooms, we started to launch these paints, and we're starting to see them again with a different kind of texture.
Yeah.
So they did something different. So here we've got this paint back in 1990s, kind of like 97, just before changing rooms came out. And it's this paint called Soft Touch.
Mm.
And we've kind of reinvigorated that kind of element of tactility to paint. So when you touched it, it invited you to touch it. So it gave another dimension of what paint was giving us on the walls. And that happened in the 90s, and it's happening again. And I love it that we think it's all new, and it's not that new. It's something that we've just fallen in love with again, this sort of sensation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's kind of, people really want that now as well. You know, people do really want that lovely kind of velvety, soft touch finish. Mm. It's not just about having a great colour on your wall. It's about how you kind of live with what is on your walls as well, isn't it? So that is like very much kind of coming back.
Mm.
Any other trends from the 90s that you particularly liked or you didn't like? Because there's so much that I guess we've mentioned already, but are there any standouts?
You know me, a bit of a colour wash. I loved a colour wash. It was that when you've got a colour on the background and then you have a slightly deeper or lighter tint of that colour and you wash it over the top, so you kind of like work in big clouds and it creates this gorgeous, looks like polished plaster if you get it right.
Yeah.
And I had massive arms in the 90s, Steph. I mean, like massive upper body strength.
Arms.
I was incredibly tough because I was doing so many. I was so skinny in the 90s, it was wonderful. But yeah, it was real physical stuff. I used to love that. So there was the colour washing and kind of broken colour techniques. I loved distressing. I loved the kind of like making things look old and making things look like they got different sort of, you know, layers that were broken through. And I loved doing murals. I just love painting pictures. So that was my thing. And what's amazing is that it's all of that stuff hasn't gone away. It's just developed.
Mm.
And I think even stenciling, you know, that we, you know, the little bunches of grapes, and I know the kind of thing you're going to have in your cottage.
Oh, Steph, obviously. Yeah, I'm going to bring it all back.
Little daisies all over the walls, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Don't know about that.
Look at her face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that, I don't think that went away. I think what that turned into was people doing great big geometric shapes on their walls using masking tape. It's being much more creative. It's never really gone away. It's just become quite simple and graphic.
Yeah.
But who's to know? In the next couple of years, what's going to happen?
Stenciling could be back. You never know.
I think it
the
might
grapes,
be.
The grapes are coming for us, I think.
I've still got some grape stencils in my somewhere. I'll tell you, they'll be worth a fortune on eBay.
They probably will be,
I'm getting
actually.
Retro
Very
stencils.
Retro. Definitely not so much with the stencils, but I agree that actually things have probably just moved on slightly. So they're kind of similar trends of putting something interesting on your wall that's not just a flat colour or... but yeah, just doing something that's a little bit more interesting, you know, like shapes or something like that, I think is definitely the move on from stenciling. Any other kind of colours, standout colours from back in the
90s? Standout colours. I loved, you know, terracotta.
Oh,
a Mediterranean
of course. How could you forget
terracotta?
Tuscan terracotta, I believe, is still a winner.
And the colour washes that we used to do, they were always the base of barley white and then a really, really soft kind of terracottery colour, even a really rich gold on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, like a golden sort of sienna colour on top. And they were just... I did. I must have done football pictures of those effects in the 90s.
Yeah.
Can you remember first seeing... changing rooms for the first time? Can you remember that? Are you too little? Were you too little?
I don't know if I remember the first time, but I definitely have some standout episodes that I remember kind of seeing. And the one that really stood out for me was the one where Lawrence did a red dining room, and I think he went all out like Venetian palace type. Oh, and like with a checkerboard floor.
Yeah.
And I just remember the lady just absolutely hating it. And I did, and I could kind of see where she was coming from because it was full on. But that's the episode that stands out in my head. But There were also some really fantastic and amazing schemes on there as well, weren't there?
Yeah.
And I did always love, actually, at the time, the ones that had these like themes around them, because then you could like kind of transport yourself into those into those places as a viewer, which was really exciting.
Lawrence, he just it was this theming and the storytelling. I love a story, and he was. Just every week, somebody would laugh, somebody would cry, something would go wrong, and it was the best TV ever. And it got me kind of into the business as well. That and Kevin MacLeod's decorating book, Annie Sloan and Kate Gwynne did all of those beautiful painting books.
Yeah.
Trisha Gill got into stuff, and it was all of that. Everything was just about the craft and skill and storytelling of decorating.
And it was kind of all happening at the same time, wasn't it? Like that kind of mid-90s onwards. It was just the time where everyone just experimented with colour and really started to enjoy it again, which is really nice. I at the time, obviously, I didn't really realise that, but looking back, it definitely, we call it at work, the changing rooms effect. You know, it even has a name because, you know, the colours that were on that show used to sell out instantly in you know, the big kind of paint and decorating shops that there are around. So it really was an effect at the time. And we've never been able to really kind of, I guess, get back to that that place. And then what I always find a shame is kind of towards the end of the 90s, when everyone started to kind of discover IKEA. As much as I love IKEA, actually, as everyone just started to discover IKEA and wanting to kind of sell these homes and then kind of put them back into these sort of bland magnolia boxes again, you know, because homes were then an investment rather than a place that you would live and you would experience, you know. So it wasn't Moroccan bazaar anymore. It was how can I get the most amount of people through my house and sell it? Which, of course, you know, perhaps Moroccan bazaar isn't the way to do that, which is a shame.
It was a strange pincer movement of two perfect things happening, IKEA and then house prices going through the roof, and that kind of killed colour in a sense, didn't it? It killed our colour and creativity, because what was more important than that was how much your house was worth. And people did not want to buy a house with a Venetian styled bathroom, a Gothic living room and a kind of Mediterranean, you know, dining room. They just didn't want that. They wanted to have a kind of completely blank box, and it took a long time to get out of that. And people have nibbled back to colour, and especially, I mean, there's, you know, being in lockdown, being in your home and feeling that your house has become so many things and has to be so many things to you. This again, the spark of creativity, people doing things, picking up a paintbrush to reinvigorate areas, creating zones in their homes to do different things. That's a real lighting the blue touch paper for this next series of changing rooms.
I hope so. No, I hope we're going to see plenty of people pick up paintbrushes after this, because the one thing that I love about the show back then and is still true today is that it just shows how easy it is and how impactful a bit of paint on the wall can be. And that's really magic. So let's hope the nation gets on our bandwagon and really starts to experiment with a bit of colour in their homes and making it their own. So run us through some of the big trends from the 90s in terms of techniques and some of those things that we may have seen on those original episodes of the show. So you've mentioned a few there, but how can we bring those to life for our listeners that perhaps have no idea what we were talking about when we're talking about bagging and probably think it's something rude?
Absolutely. Well, most of the techniques were based on thinning down emulsion paint and applying it to the wall with something that created a texture or a kind of like a broken. So they were what they were called broken colour effects. So it's like breaking the surface of the colour to create some, either a pattern or just a texture or something on the surface. And so it's basically just thinned down emulsion. And then you, around that, lots of... we use lots of different things like natural sponges. Mm. I've actually brought along today, Steph, I'm going to show you a sponging technique, but because natural sponges, that's a very bad thing to take a natural sponge out of its natural home, the Great Barrier Reef, and then use it to paint your walls. So I've bought a synthetic natural sponge, which is absolutely fantastic. So I'm just going to show you a technique with that later on. But other techniques that were really big at the time were stippling.
This is why
my arms were so massive.
Yeah.
It's the most incredible dense brush. So it's like a big block, a big sort of oblong block.
Quite like stiff bristles.
And it's kind of like hog bristles. You can get synthetic ones, but they're hog bristles. And basically, you put a colour on the wall, you put a thing called a scumble glaze over the top. And a scumble glaze, you can still get that, is this... It's a slow drying, transparent colour on top of a solid colour. And because it's slow drying, it means that you can manipulate it and move it around and things. So you can drag a brush through it, you can stipple it. And stippling gave this beautiful finish, like a kind of... it was kind of like an eggshell. It kind of looked, it was beautiful, beautiful. It sort of, if you had a really uneven surface, like a piece of furniture, and you put a, say for you, imagine a pink, it painted pink, and you put a slightly deeper pink on top in a scumble glaze and then pounced that all over it. So bash, 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 bash. And then you would get this, it would break the surface up. You would lose all the brush strokes and it would become almost, it's beautifully flat. The most gorgeous thing. So stippling was another thing. Oh, look at that. Softening.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So you would...
softening? Yeah, here's a different kind of brush.
Softening brush. That's a stippler. It's a big square block as a stippler. A softening brush. There's two softeners here. These are my favourite things ever. So this is called a hog softener. So this is a lovely soft brush. And that would be for eliminating brush strokes in a glaze.
Oh, wow.
And then this would be... Do you know what? I'm so sorry. All badgers out there. So this is a badger softener. So all you vegans, and you don't get one of these, you can get synthetic ones. But this is one of mine from a long time ago. But that's the softest hair, and it's beautiful.
We used to
sort of do a technique, and if you were doing marbling or something, you would take that hair, and a badger's hair is so soft, and you'd try to just brush it over the top, and it would eliminate all the brush marks. So you'd kind of lose the fact that a human being had brushed the glaze on the surface. That was beautiful. Flogger.
Oh, wow. I mean...
That is so naughty.
That really does sound that quite rude, so doesn't naughty. It?
I bet Lawrence had one of these.
I bet.
Yeah. Anyway, flogger was a something that you did wood graining with. So you was a dragger and a flogger. So you kind of like, you drag this through. It's very, very long bristle brush.
Oh, I see. So that would create something that's
like
really...
Like a big paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you kind of like, and you could drag it through the paint, then you could whack, get it on the wall.
It's just great. Stop doing that.
I know.
You're enjoying that too much.
I'm going to get letters.
So you would drag that down the wall.
There were these. I'm digging through all of my drawers. Look here. Feathers. So we used feathers as well. We used to go down to the local kind of like your duck pond. And we'd chase the Canada geese and we'd get feathers and we would do marbling with the tips of the feathers so that, you know, we get the veins in marble. So you would use that and then you would kind of like break the feather open and you would get the veins kind of like that way as well.
Oh, so that was
amazing tool. Feathers were great. T-shirts. We used to use loads of T-shirts for ragging. And this would be kind of like, you know, a really soft T-shirt or lint-free cloth. And you would have T-shirt material and you would just dunk that into a thinned down emulsion. And you would literally get your upper cuffs and then roll it over the wall.
So you would scrumple that up and you would put that in the paint and you would just put that on the wall surface.
Yeah, you'd kind of make it all crunchy, like a scrunchie. So T-shirts, we used to do loads and loads of T-shirts and that would be kind of a murder on your fingers. So you would scrunch it up and you would literally kind of like, you'd literally push it, roll it. Oh my, I used to have claws.
Claws,
the ripper. For the end of the day, it was so painful. Hated.
Nice. Yeah.
Hated.
T-shirts.
I hate
not coming
t-shirts.
Back.
And then,
well, this looks interesting.
Now, this is really fun.
You have to explain
so
this for people who can't see
it. So what I've got here in my hands is this kind of, it's a roller and it's got a kind of rubber sleeve on it. And then it's got all of these little tiny bits of, you know, when you get those fake chamois to clean your windows with, like a fake chamois leather. Well, it's all stitched to the outside of a
roller. It looks
like a small
version of what you get at the car wash.
It is, yeah. It looks like
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And so what we would do with that is you'd make that wet and you'd put that on a roller and you'd put your scumble glaze. So great working tool.
Okay.
Scumble glaze on the wall and then you'd roll this over the top and it would create this broken technique.
Oh.
So there were some fantastic tools that we did as... You know,
you just don't get these things anymore, do you? That
well,
are kind
do,
of.
Steph.
Well, I mean, you do, but like not in your average.
On certain websites.
Well,
you can.
Yeah,
get
I think
these
that says
things,
it all, doesn't
but
it?
But don't put in Flogger because that is
no,
not going to go down well.
You get different websites.
No. Here's another of my favourite things that nobody ever knows what this is. This is a ticking roller.
Wow.
And this was kind of like to create a specific type of kind of grain in a wood grain effect, like if you're doing. Woods like oak and that kind of thing, and you would roll that into a dark colour and just tick that over the top, and it would make those little, lovely little flecks you get in wood. And there's this amazing creativity of, I mean, I've just got a few of my old tools here, but there was an amazing design too. So somebody would be thinking, how do we create this look? And they'd be thinking, well, what makes this texture? What makes this mark? What makes this, how do we replicate that so it makes it into a kind of process that will create a kind of wallpaper? And we used to have these as well, Steph, here.
Oh, this is the height of creativity here, isn't it?
Yeah. Now this, folks, is a roller, kind of like a big wall roller, and I've put a plastic bag over it, over the whole of the roller, and then I've got some rubber bands, which will always be outside your house after the post is bin, and I've just kind of like put the rubber bands over the roller, and basically you could either put scumble glaze and then put this over the scumble glaze, or even actually just take a bit of paint up and just kind of touch it up the walls to get a really lovely broken colour effect. Really clever.
This is what I remember of changing rooms, these sorts of
plastic
put a carrier bag over a roller situation. Yeah. And away you go.
It's lovely. My kids used to, when they were old enough to sort of ask what mum did for a living and how she earned her living, and I used to show them all this stuff and they'd go, "Don't be stupid."
Yeah. Hey, it's all coming back. It's all coming back now. All of these like paint effects and all of these textures, all of these colours. So yeah, let's see if we can make them a bit less 90s and a bit more.
Okay, now I promise.
2021.
We talked about this, and it's this whole kind of, we don't think these techniques have gone away.
No.
We just think, because we're seeing them and we can see them coming through, we just think they've grown up a bit.
They have. We can make them much more sophisticated.
We can make them much more sophisticated. And see, it's all in the
As I say
choices.
That, I'm going to remove these Space Raiders that I bought us to eat. Because, you know, these are the height of sophistication.
Steph's bought dib dabs. Sherbet dib dabs. Well, a double dip dib dab.
It's a 90s episode.
On the pickled onion thing, I do seem to remember nobody ever wanted to snog you after a Space Raider or two back in the day.
Back in the day.
So we'll lay off those. So
we will for now. Yeah, we'll come back to those later.
Right, I'm going to show you something, Steph. Okay. So this is going to be funny on a podcast, but I'm hope that you listeners out there will get this. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you or describe a sponging technique. So what I've got here is I've got a synthetic natural sea sponge. It's really important. Don't go and buy a natural sea sponge.
No.
The world, Mother Nature will haunt you forever. And last week we were talking about burning a purple flame to rid you of all your previous karma. You'd have to burn a lot of purple stuff in order to get rid of the karma of killing the sea sponge. So not a natural sea sponge, a synthetic sea sponge. And this is slightly damp. So I've just kind of like slightly dampened it with water. What I've got is, I've got a, should we do it on vase?
Let's do it on vase. Let's do that. That's a really good technique.
I've painted up, we've got this really simple cylindrical vase. You went and bought this from, where did you buy this stuff?
I just got it from Asda.
£3.
Yeah, bargain.
£3. It's absolutely gorgeous. So what I've done on this, I've put a piece of masking tape just, and it's just literally like a cylinder, like a lovely tube. And so around the top of this tube, I've put some wide masking tape, and that will just mask off. So that's going to be clear glass.
Yeah.
And then underneath it, I've painted a quick drying primer for difficult surfaces, because this is glass.
Yes.
So I've got a coat of that on. And then I've put on a coat of quick drying satin wood or quick drying eggshell and let that dry off. And what I've done, and this is the most beautiful colour.
It is beautiful colour. It's a heritage colour, isn't it? I think you were showing me earlier. Yeah.
Is it olive tree?
Olive tree. That's olive one of my favourites.
And it's beautiful. So it's a lovely smoky olive. Now what I've got, so in a little roller tray, so this is just a little tiny roller tray, like a radiator roller tray. I've put some olive tree, but I've also put a little bit of white in it.
Mm.
So I've probably got about a quarter of a teacup of paint here, and I've thinned it down with water until it's the consistency of, I would say, a kind of like a pouring cream.
Mm.
So it's quite smooth and creamy. So it's not too gloopy, but it's really nice and easy to use. And so what I'm going to do here, I'm going to take my natural sponge. I've also got some paper. We're sitting on a sofa, guys. It's my living room and it's my sofa. And I'm really worried about this. And we're going to do some live painting now.
Yeah.
You can hear this. I'm just taking the sponge and I'm just kind of, I'm pressing it into the paint, of the paint reservoir of the tray. And then I'm sort of like pressing it out onto the flat part of the tray. So I've got a really nice even distribution of that kind of paint over the surface of the sponge. So it's kind of like not too soggy. It's not going to drip. So what I'm going to do, whether you're doing a wall or we're just going to do a little vase here, with the sponge, I'm going to put, just press, oh, look at that. I'm pressing that sponge onto the surface of the vase, but not doing it, I'm doing it at equal distances apart. So kind of like just taking that little impression of the sponge, twisting the vase, and I'm just kind of...
That kind of sponge, it's got a really interesting texture to it, doesn't it? It almost looks like, because it's got such big air holes in it, it's making a really lovely pattern.
It's a lovely kind of like a big crunchy pattern, but I'm leaving spaces in between because that first impression will give us lots of paint on the surface. And then what I'm going to do, and I'm twisting the sponge as well, putting it onto the surface, taking it off, twisting it and replacing it in a different position. So you're getting this really lovely, random effect. So you're getting a pattern, kind of like, but it's not a pattern, if you see what I mean. It's not, it's a quite random. So you're getting texture rather than a pattern. That's what I'm saying. So here we are. And this is taking literally 2 seconds of my life.
Yeah.
I'm getting completely carried away.
This so easy. I'm going to go on about, you know, the joy of primers again, because, you know, I am that person at a dinner party that talks about things like this.
So that,
I mean, that's that glass bar.
I don't know if you can. I know that you can see this, Steph, but can you see how pretty that is? And so, then the colours aren't too different from each other.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They're this quite close together. So any kind of pattern that you've got there is subtle. It's very sort of understated. It's really gorgeous, and because it's water based, it dries really quickly. Now, ta da da da. I'm gonna take off.
Big reveal moment.
Big reveal. I'm going to take off the tape.
Oh, it looks so good. I love it.
Isn't that pretty?
I think it looks great.
It's
and I
cute,
think that,
isn't it?
The reason it works just so well is because it is texture, but it's that kind of colour choice that really does it as well. Mm. So I guess the way that we've moved it into 2021 is just actually by taking the texture, but just doing it really subtly rather than doing, you know, purples over, you know, reds or, you know, blues and bright greens together that really kind of gives that standout. This is lovely. Mm.
And the closer the colours are together, the less likely you're likely to see mistakes. So, you know, when you've got colours that are too far apart or tonally they're too far apart, everything that goes wrong is amplified. And all of these techniques as well, when you're doing them, work on an area at a time. So if you're doing this kind of thing on a fantastic, if you mask out a headboard behind your bed and do a technique on that, or you do a bit of a sideboard or a picture frame, or take small things and just do those techniques on smaller things and nibble your way into a big wall effect. Colour washing is something I'd love to show you because it can look so beautiful. And one of the things that, you know, when you just put an emulsion on the wall, let it dry, take another emulsion, thin it down with water, put a little bit of acrylic scumble glaze in it, paint it over the top, but then spray it with water, just like spray it with a mist, and it drips and it looks amazing. It just looks amazing. It looks like a really, you know, really like old plaster. Oh, so beautiful.
And that's just as you said just so kind of fashionable right now, isn't it, to have that kind of slight texture to something. Well, I have enjoyed seeing your vase come to life. I feel like we've had a deep dive into all the tricks and techniques from the 90s, which is pretty awesome. Well, thank you for that. I feel like we've done a bit of colour lookbook there and a bit of colour know-how in the bringing it to life for people.
Painting on the podcast, that might be the new thing.
Yeah. Hey, we could do this more often, couldn't we? A different effect every week.
I want to hear what this sounds like.
Yes, there is that. You really do need to be watching this, people at home. But, you know, hopefully we've done a good job of describing the situation as we've gone along. So wonderful. Thank you for doing that, Marianne. That's been really, really interesting to see. And I love the techniques. I can't wait to see how the 90s into the 2021 versions come out on the show as well. So we've obviously been privileged enough to kind of get involved in that, so we kind of know what's coming.
But there
are some great interpretations coming. So
one of the lovely things that we're not allowed to say, but we can kind of like give you a sort of sneaky thing, is one of the lovely things is we've been hearing about all of the dramas and the things and the kind of relationships and the stories and the characters that have been coming to life behind the scenes, and you know what we've actually seen, haven't we, Steph, what the rooms looked like before and after. And you are in for such a treat. It is such good fun. Every time we look at them, we're thinking, oh, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do now? And they absolutely blow your socks off every time.
They're going to be quite special.
And actually, you can't say who's your favourite because you've got Russell and Jordan from 2BLG Studio, and they do a very, very specific style of room, and they're kind of like really, they have this lovely, joyous style. And then you've got Lawrence, who's incredibly flamboyant and his you know, maximalist, really. And the 2BLG Studio, they're very minimalist, and the two, they create a great contrast.
It's a great contrast. I don't think I could call it, knowing what I know. I don't think I could say I've got a favourite.
No.
I just think they're all just so different.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Which is brilliant. So we can't wait for you to see that content.
And we've also got some of our select decorators. So the Dulux decorators are part of the team. So I've got these great guys. And we've got a couple of guys and a couple of women, and they're just amazing decorators, and they've been characters in themselves, because it must be very difficult for a professional decorator to watch designers or to deal with designers and try and bring their visions to life. Yeah. Because you can see that they're thinking, what the hell
what
am
is
I
he doing?
Awesome. Yeah. And they're coming out as real characters as well. That's such good fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be brilliant. So, oh, bring it on, I think.
I know.
So coming to our screens soon. So we're going to have to put the paint and things away now because it is that time of the show where we... where you, more specifically, get it ready.
Yeah.
Get your we've lost it. Get your stethoscope ready. There it is.
Stethoscope ready.
Answer some more of our viewers' decorating dilemmas.
Absolutely.
So are you ready?
I'm ready. I've got it on. The stethoscope's on. I have gone into the method.
Good.
Dr. Dulux. I'm now inhabiting Dr. Dulux persona. Bring
Excellent.
It on.
Okay, so our first one today is from Jamie H. from Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
So, hi Dr. Dulux, I was wondering if you could help me choose a scheme for my living room. I'd like a bit of colour, but actually I really like warm beigey biscuit shades for the walls so I can add accessories to it. Can you help me choose the perfect shade, please?
Warm beigey biscuit shades, cookie dough.
We're going to get all the food names come out now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Cookie dough, mellow mocha.
Yeah. There are some really, really nice colours in this territory, aren't there, really?
Yeah.
And, like, over the years, I think beige, probably for all the reasons we mentioned, like, earlier in the programme, they kind of have had a bit of a bad rap, haven't they, really?
Mm.
Like, the beiges. Beige is almost like a dirty word. And it shouldn't be, because actually there's some really nice shades out there. So there are, I think you've
caramel
mentioned a few already. Caramel latte is a lovely colour.
It is a lovely colour. We're talking food, because it's obviously been getting very hungry.
We've heard the word biscuit, and we're going down that rabbit hole,
aren't
we? Yeah,
we're going down that rabbit hole. There is another colour, though, Steph. I'm going to throw in a bit, not a curveball, but a slightly curveball. There's a beautiful colour called Jurassic Stone.
That's a great colour.
Now, it's got this gorgeous biscuity sort of... It's like, if you imagine a biscuit... Pistachio biscuit. So it's got that hint of green in it.
Yeah.
And it's got this lovely biophilic element. So it's got this, it's just beautiful. It's the most beautiful colour. So I would definitely go and recommend that you get a tester of Jurassic Stone. And I would say, should we say caramel latte?
Caramel latte is a lovely colour. Yeah. And one thing that I always recommend to friends and family who also ask me about this kind of this perfect neutral, everyone kind of wants to know what that perfect neutral is. I always like the ones that have a bit more of a yellow or a green undertone to them, because some of the neutrals you'll find look absolutely lovely on a colour chart, or you pick them up and you think, oh, mellow mocha, that's the one for me. But actually, quite a few of those neutrals, when you paint them on the wall, can almost become a little bit like lilac, or have
lilac-y.
Got too much blue in them, or too much red in them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always like to do almost like the opposite, and go a bit greener or a bit more yellow.
Yep.
So my kind of perfect go-to neutral for everyone that I usually suggest is actually Egyptian cotton.
Oh, that's a lovely colour.
It's a great colour. So it's kind of warm, and it is doing the kind of the neutral base. Pretty much everything goes with it, but it has got this kind of calmer, like slightly grey, but slightly more green, yellow underneath it, which I think is nicer.
Definitely taking the consultant role this week, Steph.
Oh, yeah, I am. Sorry, I've talked a lot, haven't
I,
Dr.
Julia? I like it. I'm standing
like I'm
down.
Mouthy receptionist
I'm
almost.
Standing down.
I'm just passionate about, beige all of a sudden. But it is like the one question that we get asked.
It's
a
like
lot,
the perfect white or the perfect grey. There isn't one, but there is one. We do know sometimes, like you're saying, some of these beiges, they look slightly lilac-y when you get them on the walls.
Yeah.
And it's just our light condition. It's just the light conditions in the room, Ben. And those,
exactly.
Egyptian cotton's beautiful.
Egyptian cotton's a good one. Caramel latte. And what was the other one we said? I've
Jurassic
forgotten already.
Stone.
Jurassic Stone. Yeah. That's also a good one. Got that like kind of hint of green in it, which is really, really nice. So, and the good thing is they all go with other colours brilliantly,
everything.
Don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ultimate
so
neutrals.
You can add those accessories, Jamie, and it will look fantastic. So I hope that was helpful. Are you ready for another one?
I am.
Right, so this time we are going to Carly from Bristol, and I like this one. I think you're going to like it too. Hi, Dr. Dulux. I've recently subscribed to the show during lockdown, and I have discovered decorating. Oh, well, welcome along, Carly.
Yeah, I like you, Carly.
Yes, I am a renter, so I am on the lookout for some quick and easy projects that I can do to add some much-needed colour to my studio flat. Can you give me some inspiration? What should my next project be?
I'm going to say a chair. Get a chair or two. There's nothing better than a kind of like, actually my daughter did this the other day. She bought this chair and she painted it bright red. She just put it in a bedroom. She's got a neutral bedroom and it just looks amazing. And it's just, it was literally a £2 chair she bought off eBay and it was just, it just looks gorgeous. And it got a really, really good, strong, punchy colour.
Yeah.
Because generally in a flat, you're going to have walls that are barley white or jasmine white. They're going to be just a neutral background and you want to give it a real pop of colour. And I would say buy a chair, buy a little coffee table, anything small, maybe paint the odd picture frame and then inject some real colour, some, you know, real colour and vitality into that. And those are the kind of things you can change to suit your mood and you can also take them with you. So yeah, they become the kind of treasured possessions.
Yeah.
You're sitting in Casa Shillow at the moment.
I am.
That makes you laugh is over there, there's a cupboard that's green.
Did you paint that?
That cupboard has been more colours than you could possibly ever imagine. It's been cream. It's, if you scratch through, it's cream, it's blue, it's pink, it's been... Because it's a water-based paint, I change it all the time.
Yeah, why not?
And I've gone green because it's filled with plants and I just like it. But, you know, who knows, in a month or two, that could be another colour. Same with this cabinet here. So all of the things we have that we've bought with us is like the table. I mean, that's a wooden thing, but everything that we've bought with us, we've just painted to adapt to
why
the
not?
Place that we live in.
Yeah,
and it's
why
just
not?
It's just, that's the loveliest thing because they're kind of like little memories, aren't they?
Yeah, they just, and that's exactly the joy of upcycling furniture, isn't it? And if you've got a good primer, I feel like a broken record.
You really love the primers, don't you?
I do like a primer. Well, the world is your oyster if you've got a good primer.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm not going to go on about it anymore.
Anything.
You can paint anything, exactly. So literally anything. Vases, side tables, you know, front doors. You know, I think the primers are the way forward. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I shouldn't talk more about primers because I am actually an interesting person. Well, I think we've done a good job there. And by we, I really mean you.
I haven't. You're always
No,
there,
you're right.
Steph.
That's the support. I've taken a bit more on this time.
Yeah.
but really great questions. And thank you to everyone who has sent in questions. And hopefully they have answered for you. That really then brings us towards the end of the show and towards the end of our mini series that leads us into the next bigger series, which we're all very excited about. So shall we do a bit of a rundown as to what is in store in the next few episodes?
Well, the first thing I can't wait to tell you, but we are actually going to have, we have a life-size cutout of the real Sir Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen in this room, but we're actually going to have him in real life.
In real life
on the podcast. Yep. So that's exciting. So we're going to have the stars of the show and some of the contributors and... Actually, I think really, really interestingly, the guys, the producers of the show as well. So we are going to get them to spill the beans, tell you all of the insider information, all of the gossip.
And of course, we have going to be watching the show with you as well. So we are going to have our opinions on what we've seen, what we've heard, what we liked, what we didn't like. And we're going to be talking about that because, you know, I'm sure everyone's going to have an opinion on the things that they have seen. So you are going to be getting the lowdown from us, you know, which one is our favourite, which colour did we like the best.
And we won't hold back, will we, Steph? Straight between the eyes, we'll tell you what we really think. We won't be polite.
Indeed. And then also finally, a lot of the show is going to be about how-tos, isn't it? So a lot of the things that you're going to be seeing on the show, we are going to be able to walk.
Can we do some more painting on?
I think we
can
should.
Can we do some painting on the podcast? Oh, I'd love to do that.
I think we should. Maybe we should get Lawrence doing some painting.
Ooh, do you think he would?
I've got the depends
I've got
what
the
kind
gloves.
Of suit he has
I've
on,
got
I reckon. But yeah, you never know. We can ask.
We can ask.
But in any case, we're going to be having lots of fun and hopefully we'll be bringing the listeners along with us, which is going to be really, really fun. So so that really does bring us to the end of today's episode, in which case.
Thank you for listening and thank you for being there. We can't do this show without you. And check out the show notes and check out the video because we'll show you how to do sponging and reinvigorate the 90s in your home. And so until
next time.
Come on, Steph.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't ready.
Oh, for goodness sake. So, everybody.
Okay.
So, until next time, let's colour.